It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how.
All right. Well, as a little end of the year treat, since most of the year, I'm talking about company culture and thinking about work, futurism, and all that. Today, we're going to take a break and go for the fourth annual Great Mondays Radio Pop Culture Countdown. This is my very subjective assessment of the most important pop culture moments of the year. We'll look back at 2025 and say, oh yeah, that's happened. That happened that year. So before 2026 comes along and we dive back into all that is business culture and all of the other things that we cover here on Great Mondays Radio, I thought we would take a look at the top pop culture moments of 2025. So you'll see, if you are on the YouTube, I've got slides up in the back here, and you'll see each of the ones that I will go through. I'll count them down, not necessarily from the best to the worst or any sort of order. They're kind of vaguely maybe timeline oriented, but I kind of gave up the month to month because I felt like there were some other things that needed to be prioritized order wise. Number one, or the first pop culture moment, Labubu's. Labubu's, I think, were the first great pop culture moment of 2025. So the K-pop band Blackpink's Lisa mentioned her obsession with these ugly cute toys. And they showed up everywhere. So I think that's going to be a pretty major one that we're going to remember. Labubu's are the best. Number two, I've become more of a fan of Conan O'Brien over the years. And he really, I think, did a great job at the Oscars. He, I think, has been kept to his kind of odd, weird, quirky, comedic self, in spite of a lot of, I think, pressure to be a little more mainstream. And he's, I think, brought mainstream to him. And so he really stepped it up. I think he's done a lot of amazing things. And he was a great host for the Oscars this year. I think it was notable. Often they're funny for the moment, but I think that was an important one. So Conan O'Brien at the Oscars, number two. All right, moving along. Titling this, Hello Darkness. So the second season of the macabre hit Wednesday debuted on Netflix. I think it's a great show. I think they went a little hard, I think, this year on, like, since it was so good and so popular on season one, they put a lot of, you can tell, a lot of money and energy into it. Despite that, I really appreciate that Misfits and Weirdos besting sort of the benign and unexpected. So I don't know, as a Gen Xer, I appreciated the kind of the dark kind of gothic the themes and that it was so popular. So I don't know. That was kind of a good one. All right. Continuing on. Swipe, cry, repeat. So I take a lot of pleasure from what happened at the Match Group, who run Tinder, Hinge, and other dating apps, along with Bumble, when they cut a good portion of their jobs this year. And the pundits seem to think that folks are leaving, abandoning the digital world for real life dating. And I couldn't be happier about it. So I'm rooting for the downfall of the digital hookup culture and happy that this was the year that we saw that. I hope that we look back and say, oh, 2025 was when the year then we really saw the downfall of these digital apps. Finally. Another big one for Netflix, K-pop Demon Hunters, K-Boom. I've written here K-pop Demon Hunters took over Streams and Screams and Kiddos Scream. We're going up, up, up. If you've been anywhere near tween playlists, you're going to find any number of songs from the amazing show K-pop Demon Hunters. Really loved how much this, I guess similar to the Wednesday thing, how much sort of a weird approach to a show, an animated show, and the idea behind it, I thought was really great. And it just felt like very of the moment this year. And it, I think, serves to balance out the kind of oversweet Disney content that has kind of come to be expected. So I do think there is a moment here where we're starting to see some kind of interest in the less sanitized and more real, which I think these heroines certainly represented and were for the year. So K-pop Demon Hunters. End of the year here, we've got a lot of noise about the teen, what I'm calling brain rot, 6-7. It doesn't mean anything. It means everything. Who the fuck knows? All I can say is it happened. Let's just move on. The 2D Heroes We Deserve. So the creators of South Park signed an incredible 5-year contract with Paramount for an eye-popping $1.5 billion, and then turned around and proceeded to give the Trump administration the finger week after week. It was, you thought that, you know, after, you would think that after South Park being around for so many decades that it would run its course, but they've really done a great job of panning the Trump administration. And, you know, I don't mean to get political, but it just feels very important. And especially since Paramount kind of ceded and paid out the Trump administration for, you know, just sort of a silly lawsuit and all that, that the fact that Paramount paid so much freaking money for a show that I think turns around and really does a good job of taking the piss out of the Trump administration, I think is really, really great in some very powerful ways. So hats off to our heroes, these two-dimensional kids making fart jokes on South Park. Okay. The next one, cheating couple caught canoodling at Coldplay concert. When the COO and I think the CFO, the VP of finance were caught on the Kiss Cam at a Coldplay concert in Colorado, it was a delightfully scandalous moment for this kind of early AI-ish company called Astronomer, where these two folks were executives. So this was really funny because it was sort of this simultaneous being caught. And then also they kind of duck out of the way, if you remember that. And they know they're not supposed to be doing this. I think at least the guy is married. I do not know if the woman was. But in any case, it was definitely a moment. Well, Cybertrucks, I think, encapsulate kind of the essence of the Elon Elon's presence in 2025. Eye rolls were common before Elon dodged government, but afterwards the Cybertruck became the symbol that we could all hate together. So we saw 2025 resale values drop on all Tesla models. Elon became the world's richest human and simultaneously competed to be the world's biggest douche. Yeah, so we saw some vandalism. We saw it kind of as the symbol of excess and I can do whatever I want. But yeah, I think I don't know what's going to happen to Tesla, but I do know that, man, Cybertrucks are ugly as sin. Coming towards the end of the year, you know, whether or not Warner Brothers goes on to successfully acquire Netflix, there's sort of Paramount's hostile takeover and there's lawsuits and monopoly concerns, whatever. The reaction from most of the kind of status quo in Hollywood of a kind of collective freak out makes this feel like the end of Southern California as the center of movie making power, where we're gonna see, and we have been, it just sort of is present now, kind of the demarcation line of Hollywood. You know, will continue to be kind of symbolic, but no longer the actual hub. Netflix has done an amazing job of going international and just being able to create as I've got a few shows from Netflix anyways up here, create some amazing content. And, you know, it is economically distressing for Los Angeles. Absolutely. And it is probably better for consumers because we're going to get more diversity of thought, diversity of content. And that was really kind of where what I realize now is where those sort of weird kind of oddball, we've got the opportunity to have some of these kind of weirder shows show up. And yeah, so I think that's actually ultimately a good thing. We can't say goodbye to 2025 without talking about Swift and her beau, Kelsey. So they got engaged this year, Travis and Taylor. They made it official. And I'm not the biggest Taylor Swift fan, although I do really like her latest album. I think it's pretty phenomenal. But I think is interesting about this is, or kind of notable, is that they're sort of this all-American couple. I feel like they're kind of unifying. They have this wholesome feel to them. They're both very successful. Obviously, Swift has clearly, you know, taken control of her own music and fought back against, you know, power players. And I kind of like the independence and the strength that they both bring. And I'm really happy for her. To find someone that, makes her happy. And, I think we can also see in her latest album that she doesn't have to be forlorn. Lovelorn? Is that a word? Forlorn to make amazing music. I just felt like this was a really important one to put. And then finally, RIP the job market. The job market is really, it's just so weird and bad. Pandemic, when we were in the pandemic, the employees had the power, employers did not. I know we're veering back into work stuff, but it does seem important. So I know the breakdown didn't start this year, but I do think we're going to look back at the mid-2020s as the moment when how we post and search for work changed. And if we're going to look even further forward, I do not think we can rely on companies to be the safe haven of work anymore. I think we're more and more going to be people making our own jobs. So I will put in one final little plug. I'm very interested in this idea. I don't know what's going on, and I don't think anybody else does either. So I'm launching a new Substack and podcast next year called The Job Market Shit Show. In it, I'm going to try to discover how hiring works now, what's going wrong, why is it breaking, and you know what might come next. I'm not really sure. This is not my expertise, but I'm really intensely interested in it. And I think it does kind of fit into my wheelhouse and kind of this work futurist mentality. I'd like to find out. I'd love for you to join me, subscribe to my Substack and my new podcast. I'll be promoting it on LinkedIn and in the podcast feed. That is my roundup for 2025 pop culture moments. Thanks everybody for following along this year. It was a lot of fun, and we're going to get back to business in January of 2026. Have a great holiday. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at aka Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays, and you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.